And if not, Our scripture today comes from the letter of Hebrews in the 11th chapter, reading verses 1 through 3. Hear the word of the Lord. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was made from things that are invisible. May God bless this reading and hearing of this, his holy word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do admit that we are distracted, that the things of the world keep us from seeing what you would have us to do. Father, in this moment, we pray that we may push these things aside and be present with you, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So, our question of the week, I was going to say the question du jour, but that's wrong. Holly, what's the French for this week? All right. So the question is, from the beginning of man, basically from Adam and Eve, have all people had the opportunity to be saved? Anybody want to fess up who wrote it? You did. I got to get you to pick one. And anyhow. Anyhow, no, I've said this before, I will say it again. This is one of the things I love about congregation questions, is you get these good questions that don't seem to be relevant to living the Christian life, but are very important to understand because it does affect us during the day. So basically the question is this. The people that lived and died before the coming of Christ, is there salvation available to them? Now, I mean, we all know that salvation comes from the death of Jesus Christ and from belief in him. But again, it begs the question, what about all of the people that we read about in the Old Testament? Is salvation available to them? Did I get that right, Tim? Pretty close. Close enough. It's as close as we're going to get. I think in order to really answer this question, we need to at least look at something that I'm going to admit is somewhat controversial subject. And that is the subject of original sin. And there's been a lot of dialogue about that. So for the purpose of today, I'm going to give you my condensed version of what original sin is. Basically, original sin is the inherent trait in all of us to sin. And we get it from our parents, who got it from their parents, back, all the way to Adam and Eve. We are sinful creatures. That is the way, that is how we have, what we have become. And there's another sermon that I could preach that Holly stopped me of including in this one, which was a good thing. But we could take and talk about that. So it all started when Eve got tricked into biting the apple by the serpent, and her getting Adam to take a bite of the fruit. And that caused them to get kicked out. They passed it on to Cain and to Seth, who passed it on to their children, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of people have lived and died before Christ. Now we know again that it is Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that really brings about our salvation. So what about everybody that never knew Jesus Christ, never heard the gospel? Well, let's go back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve kind of, I think, wrecked God's plan. And when they gained that knowledge of that they got from the tree of good and evil, God had to come. God said to himself, well, I got to go to plan B now. This happened. So he needed to come up with another way to grant them and us salvation. And again, that way is still Jesus. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean? Well, God, what God started out doing, he says, okay, my children now know what is good and evil, which means they're going to start doing things that are against my will. Well, what do I do about it? Well, God started on his children. First thing he did was he made sure that they were aware of what they were doing. He made sure that they understood that, you know what, this is the way that I want you to live. And when you don't do that, it's sin, and it's not a good thing. Once he had gotten that into the people's head, he said, okay, what you're going to do about that is I'm going to give you sacrifices that, depending upon what you do, you're going to have to atone, so to speak, through that. And if you've ever, I kind of find it a little bit humorous when you actually look at all the different sacrifices that there were. It wasn't just, you know, the animal sacrifice where you took a bull or an ox or a blemishless lamb and you took it and you sacrificed it on the altar. There were liquid sacrifices. There were grain sacrifices. And the one that I truthfully chuckle at a little bit is there was wave sacrifices. What the heck? Seems a little bit goofy. But again, God's up to something. God knows what he is doing. So he brings about this system of, okay, acknowledge that you're sinners. Acknowledge that you need to atone in some way, and you're going to atone for this stuff via sacrifices. So you have, again, you have this, I'm a sinner, and I have to make atonement, and I have to try to live life. Then God starts talking about a Messiah. A Messiah that is going to come and is going to rescue the people. Okay? And we all know who that Messiah is. They didn't know about it. Israel didn't know about it. All that they knew was there was a Messiah that was going to come was going to set things right and was going to save the people. If you look, pretty much it's been said, and I agree with this, the whole Old Testament points to Jesus. It talks about him. It talks about his coming. A little tangent, I think it's the 22nd Psalm. I think that's the one that talks about my bones melting. Did I get that right, Glenn? Thank you. It talks about Christ's crucifixion long before there ever was a crucifixion, right? End of tangent there. So what happened was people started to really believe that Messiah was coming. Messiah was going to save the people. And that belief turned into faith. They had faith that God was not lying to them. They had faith that Messiah was indeed going to come, was going to rescue the people. Now, admittedly, that message kind of got a little bit perverted by the time Jesus came. But again, that's a story for another time. So that faith in the Messiah was the original salvation. You got original sin. Jesus came up with what I'm calling original salvation. And there's many examples that we have from the Old Testament that talks about having faith in God, okay? Take Noah. Noah's just a guy going about his daily business. Anybody ever heard Bill Cosby's Noah? Okay. He's just going along, doing a little carpentry. Vroom, vroom. Noah. Huh? Vroom, vroom. Noah!
What?
I want you to build an ark.
An ark?
Right. But God spoke to Noah and said, listen, I want you to build an ark. And after you build the ark, I want you to take and I want you to put some animals on it. Traditionally, it's a male and a female. And then after that, I want you to take your sons and their wives, and I all want you to get on there. And I'm going to send the rain, and it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And I just found out something. I think when God said that, Noah was like, what's rain? It never rained. It never rained before God sent the flood. So, all right, think about this. You're Noah, and yes, you've got God talking to you, and he's telling you, I want you to build this ark. I want you to put animals on it. I want you and your family to get on board, and then I'm going to take and I'm going to make it rain, and I'm going to wipe everything out. Are you necessarily going to not question? That sounds fantastical. You know, if I build this ark, I'm going to be subject to ridicule. But we know Noah built the ark. He put the animals. He put his family on board. And what God said was true. Can you imagine how much faith it took? Because you don't build an ark, you know, you don't build an ark in a day. It takes a while. So how much faith did Noah have in what God said? Think about Abraham. Abraham and Sarah desperately wanted children, and they didn't have children. But God finally says, Abraham, you and Sarah will conceive. And their son, Isaac, was born. Now, Holly and I came to parenthood probably a little bit later in life than what is considered normal. And we had some problems, but Holly had what I would say was a healthy pregnancy with a couple bumps in the road. And I think when you come to parenthood a little later in life, that you appreciate your children maybe a little bit more. So here you got Abraham with his beloved son Isaac, and God says, okay, Abraham, I want you to take your only son. I want you to take, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. Rhetorical question. Could you do that to any of your children? I'd have a very, very, very difficult time with that. But Abraham, now, Melissa, that was not very nice. Huh? I'm sorry. Can you imagine the amount of faith that it took Abraham in God to go forward with that? He didn't want to do it, but he had faith that, God knew what he was doing. Think about Moses, okay? Moses, born a Hebrew in captivity, he became the son of the daughter of Pharaoh. He grew in power within Egypt. He was a prince of Egypt. But God turns around and says to him, Moses, I want you to lead my people out of captivity, and I want you to lead them to the promised land. Now think about this, okay? Moses was not your typical Hebrew. He had been part of Egyptian society. He knew a lot about what the inner workings were. He knew that he was going up, if he led the people away, that he would be going against probably the most powerful ruler at that time. And he was also doing it against one of the most powerful armies in the world. And he knows that there's going to be trouble if he leads the Hebrew slaves away. But he has faith in God. And when God says, take Aaron, go talk to Pharaoh, strike the Nile with your staff, and it will turn to blood. Again, that sound, that would cause me pause. Is this really going to happen if I do this? Am I going to be a laughingstock if I strike the Nile and it doesn't turn to blood? But Moses, again, had faith. He had faith in God. He had faith that God knew what the heck he was doing. And in the end, Pharaoh let him go, and they were pursued. And again, Moses had faith. When God said, I want you to stretch your arms out, and I'm going to part the Red Sea, and the people are going to be able to get away. He had faith. He had the faith in God. Now, Moses, nor Abraham, nor Noah ever saw the Messiah. They believed that Messiah was going to come, but they died without ever seeing Jesus come. They had faith in God, and they had faith in his promises. Our scripture from Hebrews in the 11th chapter describes what faith is. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Moses, Abraham, Noah, Joshua, David had faith in something that they were never going to see. They had faith that God indeed would take and deliver his people. This definition of faith really exemplified by the Old Testament figures. It was faith. They were hoping for the Messiah and convicted of his existence simply because God said, this is what's going to happen. They were assured of something that was hoped for, and they were convicted of it even though they never, ever saw it during their lifetime. Verse 2 confirms this when it says, indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. How do we get saved? We get saved by belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe by having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that through via faith is how the people that never saw Jesus were saved. I think this tells us something today. It's fair to say that we as a society love to put labels on ourselves, and we love to take and divide ourselves. Salvation is not for one group of people. Well, it is, but it's not, doesn't belong to the United States or to Canada or Mexico or England. It doesn't belong to any of the political parties that are out there. It doesn't belong to straight people, to gay people, to trans people. Salvation belongs to everyone. I've seen a lot of things in the news where churches are actually not admitting people because there is something about them that the church just doesn't like. I pray God that this church never gets to that point. I don't think we are. I'm not insinuating anything. But salvation, if salvation belonged to the people before Christ, salvation definitely belongs to all of us that know Jesus, we've seen Jesus, and it even belongs to the people that don't see and don't have faith in Jesus. Amen.